We have spent the year 2018 focusing in on this theme. Our theme for this year has been a little different than some of our themes for other years. And this one's been very practical, something that's given us something daily to do, at least 28 days every year, every month. We've been focusing on 28 days every month that we can walk daily with the Lord. And if you've been here at all this year, you know that each month we have spent time looking at different emphases to that particular idea. That in January we talked about spending 28 days in growing praise in our God, and so forth all the way down to the month of November, where we've spent 28 days, and here's the 25th day, so we still have three more days after today. But we've been focusing this month on 28 days to becoming more thankful. And I don't know about you, but I'm more thankful today than I was at the beginning of the month. And I hope you're more thankful than you were at the beginning of the month. And if you feel like you're not as thankful as you should be, go and do it again. I mean, there's nothing that says that that these months, these 28 days are fixed in whatever month we do them. We're going to compile all of these and make them available as a booklet so that all 12 months of these 28 days you can have together and go through them again. There's nothing special about 2018. They can be done again. They can be done in any month of the year. And the whole design was to help us in a very practical way to improve our daily, not our Sunday, not our monthly, but our daily walk with the Lord. And I hope after these 11 months that we're walking closer with the Lord now than we were at the beginning of this year. And hopefully that's happening just from a study of His Word and allowing ourselves to get more into His presence every single day. But as we focus in on the month of December, the last month of the year, last of these 28 days that we'll be able to talk about, what is it that this congregation needs? We only have one more month to focus on 28 different things we can do. What is it that this congregation needs? No doubt this congregation needs members who will look out into the world and to see souls who are in need of the gospel and to do everything that we can to teach them the gospel. And you see that we've had some of those months this year that we need to see souls, that we need to teach the gospel. That's a need that this congregation has, and not just for a select few. This congregation is not looking for a few good men to see souls and to teach the gospel. That's the responsibility of every Christian here this morning, is to see souls and to go and teach the gospel. But what else does this congregation need? This congregation not only needs members who will look out and see souls outside of the family of God and to teach them the gospel, but this congregation needs members who will look within, who will look inside and to do what we can to encourage one another. We've got a responsibility to those who are outside of the body of Christ, and each of us have a responsibility to each of us who are inside the body of Christ to encourage one another. And as we go through this morning, as we introduce this 28-day theme for the month of December, I hope that you will take this opportunity to look inside and to say, how much encouraging do I do of my brothers and sisters in Christ? What we need in this congregation are members who will be those who will encourage each other and not discourage each other. We need members who will help to build each other up and not tear each other down. We need members who will call each other alongside to have fellowship with each other instead of pushing each other away. We need members of this congregation who will celebrate with each other in victories that we have rather than trying to humiliate each other in various things that happen. We need members who will help to commend each other for good things that happen rather than looking for opportunities to condemn each other for things where we fall short. We need members who will compliment, look for things to compliment each other rather than looking for things to criticize each other about. We need members who will congratulate each other on things that happen rather than always looking for opportunities maybe to intimidate each other. We need to look for opportunities among each other to embolden each other rather than to bully each other. We need to look for opportunities to elevate each other rather than belittle each other. We need to look for opportunities where we can encourage one another. We need to look for opportunities as brothers and sisters in Christ on a not just a Sunday day, on a Sunday basis, but on a daily basis. We need to look for opportunities where we can be that source of strength for each other. Are you that? As a member of this body, do you do that? Are we ones who are trying to help each other, or are we trying to hurt each other? Are we trying to lift each other up, or are we trying to put each other down? Are we trying to praise each other, or are we trying to shame each other? Are we trying to strengthen each other, or are we trying to weaken each other? Sometimes we're good at some of these other things. We don't mean to, well, maybe we mean to be, but we don't mean to be. Sometimes we're good at criticizing each other. Sometimes we're good at finding fault with each other. Sometimes we're good at belittling each other. Sometimes we're good at putting each other down. Why do we have to be good at that? We need, in this family, 100% participation in encouraging each other. How can we do that? What can we do to be a congregation that just naturally encourages one another? I just want to look at two things this morning. And I want us to approach this from two different perspectives. And the first is to ask a question, and then the second point will have not a question mark, but an exclamation point beside this idea of encouraging. But how can I become more of an encourager? First thing it starts with is observation. Before I can be a good encourager, it starts with observation. Who is it that needs encouragement? I've got to open my eyes. And so as Christians, we need to put our eyes on each other. We need to open our eyes and see what's going on in each other's lives. What's happening around us? Not to be so myopic that we can only see what's right here in front of us. Not to be so introspective, I can only care about what's going on with me. But to open our eyes to everybody else, say, what's going on with my brothers and sisters in Christ? Observation. Who needs encouragement? You remember in the New Testament, there was a man who was known as the encourager. A man in the New Testament that the apostles gave a new name. His name was Joseph. That's what his mom and daddy called him, was Joseph. But the apostles said, we're going to give you a different name. We don't even know the name his mommy and daddy gave him. We know the name that the apostles gave him. They gave him the name that meant son of encouragement. We call him Barnabas because that's what the apostles called him. Why? He was an encourager. In Acts chapter 11, when the apostles sent Barnabas to Antioch, do you know what the Bible says in verse 23? That he got there and he saw what was happening in Antioch. Barnabas arrived, and what's the first thing Barnabas did? He just opened his eyes. What's going on in the city of Antioch? You know what we need to do sometimes? Just be Barnabas and open our eyes. Verse 25, when he's in Antioch and he finishes work, temporarily finishes work in Antioch, verse 25 says, he went to seek Saul. What does that say? He was not just passive in his observation of what's happening in Antioch, but he was active in his observation, seeking out somebody who needed to be encouraged. Do we do that? Are we a passive observers just seeing what's going on? Are we active observers trying to find somebody who needs encouragement? Here we are, a congregation with hundreds of members here. How often do we put our eyes on each other to see what's going on? But not just put our eyes on each other, because that's not enough. For me, just to see something, have I become an encourager just by seeing something? I not only need to put my eyes on each other, but the Bible says that we need to put our minds on each other. Not just see what's happening. But Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24, the New King James in Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, let us consider one another. The word consider comes from a Greek word. It's a compound Greek word that takes the prefix down, the preposition down, and takes the word mind basically and puts them together. And the word literally means that we need to put our minds down on somebody. Not that we're looking down on somebody, but I take my mind and I put my mind down on somebody, meaning I just think up and down about this person. Not just seeing what somebody needs, but putting my mind, putting my thoughts, putting my cares, putting my emotions, putting my mind, what's going on? What can I do? Do we think about each other? Not just in the 20 seconds we had at the beginning of the sermon this morning. Not just those. Do we think about each other the rest of today? Will we think about each other the rest of the week? Will our minds be on each other the rest of this week? That's what Hebrews 10 and verse 24 tells us to do. Let us consider one another. Put our minds on each other. Can I invite you for a few minutes to look around, to think about who's in this congregation that needs encouragement? Being an encourager requires you to look beyond yourself. This is not an exercise in saying, yep, I need encouragement. Yep, I need encouragement for all of those reasons. Yep, I fit in those categories, and so I fit in those categories. I need encouragement. This is not an exercise about me. It's not an exercise about looking inward. It's an exercise about looking outward. We've got to look beyond ourselves. We've got to look around and say, who is it in this congregation who needs encouragement? You say, well, I'm not really sure who all needs encouragement. Can we talk about a few folks? Maybe this will jar some memories, jar some thoughts where our minds need to be. Do you know anybody who's struggling with their health? You know anybody who's struggling with their health? If you don't, you didn't pick up one of the bulletins when you came in and you haven't read page 4 of the bulletin. You know anybody who's struggling with their health, who has cancer, who's undergoing treatments, who's dealing with chronic severe pain, who has heart disease, who's suffering with diabetes, who just got out of the hospital, just had surgery, just had some kind of procedure? Do you know anybody in this congregation who's undergoing medical treatments or who is awaiting test results? You know anybody who's in rehab? You know anybody who's undergoing physical therapy, who's having dialysis 3 days a week? You know anybody who's having complications with their medications right now? Do you know anybody who's got a calendar full of doctor appointments? Do you know anybody who's having blood pressure problems, chronic infection, declining health, their memory is failing, they're having some kind of emotional instability? Do you know anybody who's elderly or aging or is growing feeble in this congregation? Do you know anybody who might fit one of those categories? Guess what? You know somebody who needs to be encouraged. If we only put this list up here, how many people do you know that fit this list? We send out the bulletin every week. We send out family news twice a week with information about what's going on in members' lives health-wise. Brother and sister in Christ, we need to encourage each other. But not just those who are struggling with health issues. We need to encourage those who are struggling with family members who have health issues, who are struggling with a parent or a child or a sibling or some other loved one who's struggling with failing health. Their loved one has dementia or Alzheimer's or has heart disease, cancer, or diabetes, or is undergoing treatments, or is having mental or emotional instability, or suffering from some childhood disease, or just has some ongoing health issue. Do you know anybody in this congregation? Maybe their health is okay, but they're wearing themselves out taking care of a loved one. They need encouragement. We've got to open our eyes. Put our eyes on each other. Put our minds on each other. But it's not just about health. Do you know anybody in this congregation who's dealing with job or financial stress? Somebody who has a new job. Or maybe somebody who doesn't have a job. Maybe somebody's working 2 or 3 jobs just to make ends meet. You know anybody who's overworked? Maybe they're having uncertainty in their job. Maybe they're having problems at work. Maybe they've taken on added responsibility work. You know anybody who's struggling financially? Who's unsure if they're going to make it through this week financially? Who's having difficulty making their payments? They're dealing with bill collectors. They've had their utilities turned off, and they're not sure they're going to be able to take care of their kids. You know anybody on this list? If you do, you know somebody who needs encouragement. As we look around, we've got to look beyond self. It's not to say, oh yeah, I fit in that category. This isn't about what categories I fit in. It's about what categories do my brothers and sisters in Christ fit in. Who in this congregation can I encourage? Because sometimes we hear, encourage one another. Sure, I need to do that. But who needs encouragement? Here's just 3 categories of people that need encouragement. What about those who are lonely? You know anybody who's lonely? Who's just alone right now? Who's for maybe the first time in life, or maybe the first time in a long time, is on their own. You know any widows or widowers in this congregation? You know anybody who's dealing with the loss of a loved one, a spouse, a child, sibling, parent? You know anybody who's dealing with that in recent days, weeks, or months? Or do you know somebody who's still dealing with that even after years, that they're still dealing with the loss of that loved one? You know anybody who's recovering from a miscarriage? You know anybody who's missing a friend who moved away? You know anybody who just doesn't really have any close friends? You know anybody in one of these categories? Then you know somebody who needs encouragement. Do you know anybody who's having issues at home? You know any newlyweds? Newlyweds need encouragement. Newlyweds, you know any newlyweds? You know anybody who's got a troubled marriage? Maybe they're having trouble at home. You know anybody who's, don't point fingers. You know anybody who's got a difficult husband? Remember, this isn't about you, okay? Look beyond yourself. You know anybody who's got a difficult wife? Maybe they've got a difficult child or difficult parent they're dealing with. You know anybody who's living with a spouse who's not fulfilling their responsibilities? You know anybody who has a non-Christian spouse or a non-Christian parent? You know anybody who is divorced in this congregation, by choice or not by choice? Maybe by infidelity of their previous partner? You know anybody in this congregation who is a child of divorce? Everybody on this list needs encouragement. Are we looking out? Do we see these people in this congregation who are fitting into these various categories and seeing that they need encouragement? What are we doing? You know anybody who's having any parenting issues? Maybe they're parents of infants. Any parents of infants here? They need encouragement. Any parents of toddlers? We need to pray for them. You know any parents of young children, parents of teenagers? They're beyond encouragement, but you can try to encourage them. You know any single moms, single dads in this congregation? Thank God for the single moms and single dads in this church who are bringing their kids to church. They need encouragement. You know any new parents? You know any grandparents who are raising their grandchildren? You know any parents who are concerned about their children's faith, concerned about their children's direction of life, maybe disappointed in their children's spiritual direction or the choices that their children have made? You know any grandparents who are concerned in this congregation about their kids or their grandkids in this church? Then you know somebody who needs encouragement. As you start going through this list, does your mind just start to swell? You know, at the beginning of this, who needs encouragement? That's the question on the screen. Who needs encouragement? You say, well, okay, here's one or two or three people. You start going through this list, and all of a sudden your mind starts to swell and says, wow, everybody around me. Yeah, everybody around me needs encouragement. You know anybody who's dealing with trials of life? Was this one up here? You know anybody who's dealing with the trials of life? And you know anybody who's dealing with depression, anxiety, doubts, fear, faith struggles, low self-esteem, with just disappointments in life, with hurt feelings? You know anybody who feels lost, feels neglected, feels isolated, feels misunderstood, feels defeated at every turn, feels mistreated or abused? Do you know anybody that is just discouraged about where they are in life, about their spiritual health, about everything where they are, and just they maybe reached the point of desperation and they're at the end of their rope? You know anybody like that? Then you know somebody who needs you right now today to encourage them. We've got to open our eyes. We've got to put our eyes on each other, put our minds on each other. Do we know any young people in this congregation? You know any young people in this congregation? Guess what? They're dealing with life too. They're not immune to what this life has. They're dealing with peer pressure. They're having various struggles at school. Maybe they're struggling with grades or bullies or friendlessness or the immorality that just is surrounding them at school. Maybe they're neglected at home. Maybe they're abused at home. Maybe there's a spiritual void at home. Maybe they have spiritually weak or spiritually apathetic parents or parents who are not helping them grow as they need to in the Lord. Maybe there's young people in this congregation that are dealing with disappointments in life, dealing with various transitions that happen in life. You know any young people in this church? Do they need encouragement? We don't need to look over them. We don't need to look past them. They need encouragement too. You know any Christians in this church who are struggling against the world, fighting the devil? They've got friends who are not a good influence. They've got family members and coworkers who are not good influences. They're being pulled into thinking like the world. They're letting the identifiers of the world identify them instead of being identified with Christ. They're struggling with temptation, with addiction, with sin, with past sins, with the guilt and the shame that comes with that, with struggling with bad choices, with mistakes, with unexpected events. Do you know anybody in this congregation that has children who are struggling with temptation and sin, who have parents or spouses who are struggling with temptation and sin? We're not immune as Christians. We're not immune from any of this. Guess what everybody on this list needs? They need encouragement from you today. Do you know anybody who is struggling with their faith, struggling with priorities? They're close to letting their personal faith slip. They're enamored by strange doctrines of men. Maybe they're not worshiping as frequently or as fervently as they once did. They're trying to decide how important the church is and where the church needs to be in their life. They're trying to make better choices. They're struggling maybe with the faith of their spouse or their kids. And maybe there's somebody in this church that's the only Christian in their home, and they're just trying to make it on their own, being the only Christian in their house. Do you know anybody on this list? Are you starting to get the idea that everybody in this congregation, in some fashion or another, needs encouragement? Do you know anybody who's trying to find their place in life? Trying to do better. They're trying to build their faith. They're trying to improve their marriage and their family. They're trying to raise godly children. They're facing some major decision, perhaps. Maybe they're struggling to make the right decision. Do you know anybody who's a new Christian in this church? Somebody who's just become a Christian, they're trying to learn the Bible. They're trying to learn, what does God expect of me? They're new to this church, so they're trying to learn everybody's name. They're trying to figure out who's connected to who. Whose mama is whose mama and whose dad? How are these people related? They don't know everybody the way you know everybody. And here they are trying to learn this congregation, trying to find their place in this congregation. Everybody on this list needs encouragement. We've looked at folks various lists of people who are struggling, whether it's physically or spiritually or emotionally. And sometimes, what about those people that they're doing fine? They're doing just fine. They've got, their faith is growing, they're succeeding in life. You know, everything seems to be going in the right direction. You know what they need? They need encouragement. I want you to go back and think about this list. Encourage? Who needs encouragement? Brother and sister in Christ, we need to open our eyes. I would encourage you to do what I did this last week and just get your directory out and go through your directory and say, who here needs encouragement? And you may not even know what's going on in their life, and sometimes that's even better. When somebody gets some sort of encouragement from somebody and they say, they don't even know what's going on in my life, but they're trying to encourage me. Open our eyes and then put our minds on each other. You ever had an operation? This point of the lesson is just pre-op. You know what I'm talking about? You ever have somebody go into the hospital and they go in for observation? That's a fun thing, right? They go into the hospital for observation. So everybody is observing them, what's happening to them in the hospital bed. That's all this point of the lesson is pre-op, is observation, opening our eyes and seeing what's going on. But the last point I want us to talk about this morning is the operation. It's not just saying, okay, who needs encouragement? It's not just opening our eyes and putting our minds and thinking about each other, because just thinking about each other and looking at each other and say, yep, they need encouragement, that's not encouraging. Knowing that somebody needs encouragement is not encouraging to that person until we actually do something to encourage them. Can I give you 3 points really quick here? Number one, we've got to ask ourselves, what's our purpose? In the passage that was read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, what's our purpose? Our purpose in verse 11, depending on your translation, says to encourage one another and to build each other up. Two different things in that verse. Encourage and build up. The first verb literally means to call somebody alongside, which means that when we encourage, it needs to be heartfelt and meaningful. We call them alongside. It's tender. It's affectionate. It has meaning behind it. We call them alongside, and then we try to build them up. That's our purpose. When we think about this Operation Encourage, our purpose is, I want to be with you. I want to be beside you. I want to encourage you. I don't want to build you up. But again, we haven't reached it yet. We've got to not just see what is our purpose, what is our procedure? Here's our procedure. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. We might read this verse and we might dismiss the first part of the verse and think John is dismissing the first part in order to get to the second part. John's not dismissing the first part of chapter 3 and verse 18. He's saying do this and do this part. And so in 1 John 3 and verse 18, John says that we are to love one another in word and tongue and in deed and in truth. There's two parts to our encouragement. There's the words, there's the speaking, there's the saying things to each other, and then there is the deeds that we can do to encourage each other. In Proverbs, there's a number of passages in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. The Bible says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. And then in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, it says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. Do you know anybody who needs a good word? Do you know anybody who needs a word fitly spoken? You know anybody that you can do something for them, some good deed that will make their day? That's what we're focusing on in the month of December. It's to focus on what can we do as brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage one another, to encourage each other. Ushers, if you've got those booklets, if you want to go start passing out to all of the members, all of the booklets for this month, and inside these booklets, Don't dismiss this yet. Inside of the booklets has the 28 things that we want to try to do this month. 28 practical things that we want to try to do this month, that we can do this month to encourage each other. Let me share with you what's it. There's 28 different pages in the book, and I know you probably can't read this. Let me read to you what's on the screen. Here's some easy things we can do to encourage each other. Number one, send somebody a note. I'm glad that you're my brother and sister in Christ. And that's it. Now, that note could be a text message. There's a few things on this list about sending notes. That note could be a text message. Can you send it? Don't raise your hand. Can you send a text message? Can you send an email? You know what's even more meaningful than getting a text message? It's getting a handwritten note from somebody who took the time to write it in their own hand, to address it, the envelope in their own hand, put a stamp on it, and to take time. That's encouraging. But if you can't do that, send a text message. Send an email. I'm glad that you're my brother or sister in Christ. Number two, seek to build someone up who is discouraged. You know anybody's discouraged or overwhelmed? Number three, express appreciation to an elder for his labors. Number four, visit a widow or shut-in or elderly member in their home. Number five, plan to be at worship and church services every time you can. Do you know how encouraging it is to be with each other? What did we do at the beginning of the sermon? 20 seconds. I'm glad you're here. Did you mean it? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, when we're here, we are able to exhort and encourage each other in the process. Number six, make a phone call. Just tell somebody, I just wanted to see how you're doing today. But you got to mean it when you say it. Number seven, compliment someone who recently did a good job in some work of the church. Number eight, invite someone to have lunch with you or just have coffee together. Number nine, lend a helping hand to somebody in the church, even when they didn't ask for it. Number 10, send a note to somebody that says, I prayed for you today. May God bless you. Number 11, smile and give a warm hug to someone who has struggled lately. Number 12, express appreciation to someone who may rarely receive any appreciation. Number 13, share a Bible verse that means a lot to you and has helped you. Number 14, celebrate and congratulate an accomplishment that someone has enjoyed in the congregation. Number 15, extend comfort or sympathy to someone who's suffering or lonely. Number 16, here's another note. Send a note. I'm glad that we are a part of the same church. Number 17, arrive early or stay late at worship to meet and greet and visit. Number 18, take a meal to someone who has been having a hard time lately. Number 19, express appreciation to someone who works for the church. Number 20, send a note of praise to a young person in the church. Number 21, invite someone to hang out or go somewhere together. Number 22, reach out to someone who always seems to reach out to other people. Number 23, make a phone call and say, I was thinking about you and I'm praying for you today. Number 24, express appreciation for a kind act of service done to another. Number 25, let someone who is missing worship know that he or she is missed. 26, invite others into your home for fellowship. 27, send a note of praise to a young parent in the church. 28, do a random, even little, act of kindness for a church member. None of these are too big for any of us. The beauty of all 28 of these things that are in your booklet is they can be done by any of us on any day towards just about any member of this church. You know what this congregation needs? This congregation needs members who will look out into the world to see individuals who are lost and need the gospel, and that's every single one of us who need to do that. What else does this congregation need? It needs members who will look within to find each other, to see each other, to put our minds on each other, and to encourage each other. That's our operation. Our purpose, call each other alongside and build each other up. What's the procedure? Use words and deeds to encourage. Last thing is in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Where the writer of the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13 says, exhort, or maybe your Bible says encourage, exhort one another daily while it is called today. When do we need to encourage? Encouragement needs our persistence. We need to do it every day. And when he says to do it while it is called today, we need to do it without delay. While today is still called today, God says, brother and sister in Christ, encourage each other. We've spent 28 days every month this year trying to draw closer in our walk with the Lord. And if you've been a part of these 28 days activities, I hope that you've been able to draw closer to the Lord. And through some of these events like praying for one another, we had that 1 month. Being thankful in this month, and many times it's been thankful for what we have with each other. We're also at the same time been able to draw closer to each other. May the month of December be a month where we can build each other up more than we ever have and encourage each other as we strive to serve the Lord. Final question for you today. Are you a part of God's one another? Are you a part of God's church? When the Bible says to encourage one another, the Bible says to build one another up, it's talking about within the church. It's not wrong to encourage somebody who's outside the church, but when God uses that special expression, one another, He's talking about the church. He's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. And by the way, when God uses that one another expression, when God says encourage one another and build up one another and consider one another, that's a reciprocal pronoun. And what that means is that everybody needs to be doing it to everybody else. It's not just, well, those people are better at encouraging than I am. Well, good for them. But that doesn't mean that I'm not supposed to encourage anybody. The reciprocal pronoun says we all encourage each other. Are you a part of that one another? Are you a part of God's church? A part of His body? Part of those people who are His saved on this earth? In order to become a part of that, the Bible says you've got to believe that Jesus is God's Son. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus came to this earth and He died on the cross, that He was buried in that tomb, and that on the third day He was raised from the dead? Do you believe that with all of your heart? If you believe that, the Bible says that you need to repent of your sins. That simply means that you need to change the way that you're thinking and change the direction of your life and say, I don't want to serve sin anymore and serve self anymore. I want to turn my life over to the Lord. Are you ready to do that today? If you're ready to make that decision today, then you can do what they did in the New Testament. You can confess the faith that is in your heart and you can be baptized. Be immersed in water, not because some church tradition says to do it, not because some preacher said to do it, but to do it because the Bible says to do it. In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter told him, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Have you ever been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? Been baptized so that at that moment the blood of Jesus could take away your sins. If you haven't been baptized that way, you haven't been baptized the way that the New Testament talks about. You can do it today. And at that very moment, God will add you to His church. He'll add you to His one another. And He'll add you to His book of life in heaven. And then He calls upon us as His children to serve Him faithfully. Where are you today? Are you a part of His church? Are you a faithful part of His family? If this church can help you to leave here today serving the Lord more faithfully without any sin separating you from God, why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.